Well, I hope you had an opportunity to get up to the coasttocoastam.com website and take a look at that picture or the series of pictures of this structure on Mars. It's really cool stuff. George Haas with us, William Saunders, and we'll be back with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Haas with us, Bill Saunders, as we talk about this strange, strange structure on Mars. But they have devoted their careers to investigating Mars. They co-wrote a book together called The Martian Codex, and they continue doing work together. George, what are you working on these days?
Currently, trying to promote the paper that we just finished. But I'm working on another book, which is just about done, dealing with geoglyphic formations of all of these bird formations that are located in the Sedona area, mm-hmm. directly above the face on Mars, which I'm going to hopefully do some publisher shopping in the new year here and see if I can get this thing published.
Well, if you need some help, I can recommend my publisher to you, and you two can start conversing.
Oh.
If that'll work for you.
I will take you up on that.
Okay, you got a deal. And Bill, how about you? What are you working on?
Well, I'm also looking back in the Cydonia area. I found some interesting aesthetic structures that I'm pursuing. There's some profile faces and some very interesting and intricate pictographic features of animals as well.
What do you think, Bill, happened to Mars a long time ago? Let's assume that it did have oceans, and we know it did, but it had oceans and maybe vegetation, maybe intelligent life. What happened? Something destroyed that planet. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a couple of scenarios that either naturally it lost its atmosphere or there was conflict of some type. One of our colleagues at SPSR, Dr. John Brandenburg, has shown that there was indications of a nuclear catastrophe on Mars, nuclear explosions, although he dates that to about 200 million years ago. Our research kind of fits more with a scenario of something in the last 20,000 years, although the two may not be mutually exclusive. But from what I've read, including Mesoamerican mythology and works by Zechariah Sitchin and even Plato, we know that there was conflict in the past, major conflicts in the past. And Sitchin talks about the wars of gods and men, and in Mesoamerica they talked about Star Wars. And Mesoamerica, as we have shown in our books, demonstrated with a lot of symbolism and overlapping stories, mythological stories that we found, that there was a major conflict. They called it Star Wars.
Oh,
they have very strong links with Mars.
Might it have happened here too, that same kind of conflict?
Sure. I think that it's very possible that it was all part of the same war. Same conflict.
I do too. Let's take some calls for you too here. Let's go to San Antonio, Texas. First time caller, Anthony is with us. Hi, Anthony. Thank you for calling.
Yes. Hi.
Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Yes. I was wondering if the fact that they're going to actually be disclosing information about Antarctica, is that going to have anything to do with the disclosure of maybe structures on the moon?
We're not sure. The most recent story at Antarctica, the South Pole, of course, is that there is something deep under the ice, and they don't know what it is. At least they're not telling us what it is. Could be a city, could be a UFO, could be an asteroid, could be just about anything. George, Bill, have you two looked at that?
This is George here. No, I haven't been aware of any of the possible releasing of additional information. I know as much as George Norrie knows that, you know, they've been talking about this anomaly that's under the ice, but that's as far as I, you know, that's the only information I have.
Okay. How about you, Bill? Anything?
Yeah, I've just actually become familiar with this this story, and I've seen a couple of stories on the internet, and one I guess it was done about a year ago actually on TV, NASA's unexplained files, and there are some very, very fascinating things going on. What they're going to uncover, I have no idea, but there's definitely some very interesting things happening there.
I just love these space stories that just keep popping up all the time. Aren't they amazing?
Yeah, they are.
Next up, we go to Ryan in Kansas City, Missouri. Ryan, you're up with us. Go ahead.
Yes, George.
Hi.
I was listening to a radio program about 6 weeks ago, and this was between 6 and 7 in the morning. This buddy calls up, and he said he was a space soldier. And he goes on to say that he served in the military from 2000 to 2007, and he was assigned to a military base on the dark side of the moon. Is this fiction, or have you heard anything about this?
Well, Ingo Swann, the late remote viewer, wrote a book called Penetration, and he, in his remote viewing, saw structures on the far side of the moon. But he felt that these were made by other entities, extraterrestrials. I have not really believed that we have a base, George, on the far side of the moon. How about you?
There are some interesting pictures of the dark side of the moon that show possible, you know, artificial structures on the surface. But they're too small. They're too dark. It's, you know, it could be anything. But you know, I'm not that familiar with any of this myself. Just, you know, from what you see on the internet.
And Bill, have you come across anything like that?
Well, as George said, I have seen some interesting images on the internet. But I would think that it's not out of the realms of possibility that there is ongoing communication with extraterrestrials and the major governments, U.S., Russia, maybe China. So I don't rule anything out.
No, you really can't. You really can't. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate your call. We go to Palm Beach, Florida next. Mike's with us on Coast to Coast on the Wild Card line. Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing, Big? Sorry to say, you gentlemen are victims of a gigantic hoax.
Uh-oh, tell us why. Hoax. Tell us why.
The pictures you describe, your analyzations, it's not Mars. That's stuff made in a studio. What's the real Mars like? Okay, go to this website. It's called The Canals of Mars, 1962. It's an official U.S. Air Force map of the canals of Mars, which we are told today does not exist. For 60 years, pictures were taken of these canals from Earth. The Air Force analyzed these pictures and made a map up in 1962. It's an official U.S. Air Force map. What happened to the canals? Well, they're there, but we're not seeing them. Another problem with the phony pictures are this. I have a picture from 1955 National Geographic of Mars, color picture, and it shows Mars green color with a blue atmosphere. If you go to the website Mars Colors, there are people who are complaining about this. They say NASA is lying about the colors of the atmosphere, they're changing the colors, whatever. I have an actual picture of that. What's happened is this. There was a famous astronomer named Percival Lowell.
Mm-hmm.
Probably most people haven't heard of this man. He is viciously attacked today. Died 100 years ago, by the way. He's viciously attacked today by the scientists. They hate his guts. Why? Because at the turn of the century, he said that there was an advanced civilization on Mars and made photographs of the canals to prove it. Today, if you read his biography, they claim he was insane, that he was hallucinating when he saw those canals through the telescope. but he actually made photographs, which were used by the Air Force years later. And those pictures appeared on the front page of the New York Times at the time, over 100 years ago. Percival Lowell is one of the greatest astronomers in history. The planet Pluto is named after him. I don't know how many people even know that. They keep that secret. They don't want you to know that, that this man actually discovered the planet Pluto, and it was named after him, P.L., Percival Lowell, the first initials. And again, he's treated today like dirt. He's attacked viciously 100 years later like a crazy man. How dare he say there's a civilization on Mars? But the proof is right there. The Air Force map is there, and you guys, I'm sorry, NASA is a corrupt organization founded by Nazi war criminals who lie and lie and lie, and these pictures of Mars that you've been analyzing for years and spending all this time, you're wasting your time. I'm very sorry about this because you guys are sincere, and I believe you are sincere, but you're being hoaxed. This is you're dealing with an agency like the CIA. They don't care about the truth. They don't care about anything. They lie about everything. The moon landings, God knows what happened with that. By the way, the Chinese have said that they just investigated one of the moon landing sites of the Apollo mission, and there was no evidence it landed. They actually have pictures of it. It was all phony there. So you got to be very careful when you deal with NASA and these photographs. Very careful.
Let's get their reaction. I believe we went to the moon, of course, and one of our heroes died today, Gene Cernan. George, let's start with you. Mike, who's very well informed about a lot of things.
Yeah, I think Mike called in last time we were on. I remember the National Geographic example with the atmosphere. If he goes to the Coast to Coast page, which has up all of the images that you guys graciously put up for us, I would direct his attention to image that's labeled E, and that gives you that perspective view, that expansive view of the structure that's
the
sitting
keyhole.
In the center there. You can see the canals that are going right through the image, right through the wedge and dome formation. So they may be some of the canals that he's talking about.
Well, and I think those canals were there. I think, back 100 years ago, things probably would thaw on Mars. Water would go through them, and you'd see things like that.
Well, I'm sure. And there's areas on Mars that appear to have these big, long canal strips and things, which could have been what he was seeing.
Now, what about the corruption charges against NASA? What do you think? A lot of people have said that.
If that's true, I think we should just pack all this stuff up and forget it.
How about you, Bill?
Well, I find it a little hard to believe. If there is corruption in NASA, well, so be it. But it's not, it doesn't go entirely through the whole organization. The other thing is a lot of these images have been corroborated by other space agencies like Europe. Some of the images that we have found in Cydonia, I doubt that anybody on this planet has the brains to have come up with them, because what George and I have documented is some pretty amazing artistic abilities. Work that shows very, very intricate and knowledge of mathematics and physics and art, many, many things. I can't see them anybody going to that much trouble to make fake images and put all that detail in.
And as far as going to the moon, I think we went. And I think you two believe it, too.
I don't think there's any doubt that we did.
Like Bill says, I strongly believe we went to the moon, and what we found on the moon is why we don't go there anymore.
Out to Rhode Island we go. Joe, well, let me hold on now. What do you mean? What did we find there and why we don't go?
Well, on the moon? Yeah. Oh, there's all of the debris and the structures and all of the artifacts that they probably brought back.
Were we told not to go back?
I don't think we were told not to go back, but I can remember in the 60s when I was in grade school and we would talk about, the moon missions, and that, in the 1980s we were all going to be going to the moon. We were going to have bases on the moon. And I think because of what they found on the moon, they didn't want the public to be, visiting the moon on a regular basis with all this stuff sitting around.
Now we go to Joe in Rhode Island. Hi, Joe. Go ahead.
How are you, George?
Good, thank you. Hope you are too.
And your guests.
George, in the ancient Hebrew text, there's a book known as the Book of Esther. And in that book, there's an uncle to Esther, Queen Esther. And his name was Mordecai.
Okay.
And, he did most of the instruction for Queen Esther. And if you take his name and you translate it to English, it's it means little man or messenger of Mars. Now, that's a very strange name to be given to a person.
Yeah, it
is. I
want
to get your
And you know, in Egypt, Egyptian, Cairo means Mars as well, which is very strange. Very strange indeed. George, do you think that Mars was populated to the point that when the destruction occurred, they got into ships and craft and came here?
Yeah, I think after the destruction of Mars, the descendants, the survivors, possibly came here.
And they might have been coming here all along, but they probably just said, you know, we're going to stay.
Right. I think it's a very complicated history between Earth and Mars. You know, like Dr. Brandenburg talks about, and he uses NASA's own data to show that there's overwhelming evidence that there was these two nuclear explosions on Mars in the Utopia area and over in the Cydonia area. And, you know, he believes that this was an extraterrestrial group that came in and wiped out whatever growing technological civilization that was evolving on Mars and wiped it out. I think it was more of a conflict between indigenous people. I think it was more of an indigenous
who had that kind of technology.
Right. Something like, you got two different factions on the planet that are struggling and going back and forth. I mean, you could see the same scenario happening on Earth. I mean, you could see major powers going to war and escalating to a nuclear event.
Absolutely. Okay, stay with us, you two. We're going to come back and take final phone calls in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. I invite all of you to get up to their website, which is located and linked up at coasttocoastam.com for you. And don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and email me at george@coasttocoastam.com. We are talking with George Haas and Bill Saunders about their work, the Martian Codex, and their latest paper looking at this so-called keyhole formation on Mars, where we have pictures for you up at coasttocoastam.com. I got to tell you, it is strange when you look at it, how these structures pop up and they're sprinkled all around that planet. Something probably happened a long, long time ago. And you know what? They may have been the first. They may have been more advanced than we were. You never know. So we're going to come back in a moment. Next hour, by the way, John D'Souza back on Coast to Coast with his story about the extra dimensionals. That's fascinating, too. Okay, welcome back to our final segment with George Haas and Bill Saunders as we talk about their work. They put in a paper about what is called the keyhole structure on Mars, and it is a strange one, folks, and we've got it for you at coasttocoastam.com. Just go take a look at that. Very, very strange indeed. The other contributors, George, to this journal about this structure, do they all have the similar views, the similar outcome?
Well, we have Michael Dale, who's a geologist, and he came to the very similar conclusions that William Saunders did, that this cannot be something, because of its, the radically opposing shapes of the formations, that, you know, the only way this could be made was, you know, somebody had to actually produce this. And the other writer of the paper is a longtime friend of mine, Jim Miller.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a member of the Cydonia Institute, been a member for years. He was instrumental in working on the Parrotopia paper, the Parrot Formation. So Jim's been on the last couple papers with us, and he's an image analysis specialist, and he did a lot of the measuring of the formation for us. That was basically his contribution and getting all the ancillary data collected.
And Bill, you've got a degree in what is called geomorphology. What is that?
Well, it's the study of surface structures on Earth, how things are formed, different processes of deposition and erosion and glaciation and volcanism and those sorts of things. It's basically surface geology.
Would you say that the principles of geology that are happening on this planet are happening on Mars, happened on the Moon, and they're probably all over the place?
Well, yes, to some degree. I mean, certainly there's going to be, the processes are going to be slightly different because you have different masses, different atmosphere. You don't have the weather that you have, but the geological aspect, I mean, the Moon is, from what we know, is very similar to Earth in composition, although I have seen reports that indicate that it may not be that way all the way through. It may, in fact, be hollow.
It's got that tingy sound to it.
Pardon me?
Didn't it ping once when they did a test with it?
Yeah, they dropped a booster rocket from one of their landers when they left, and it gave the seismographic features of a bell ringing.
Yeah. Boom. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Christina's in Las Vegas. Welcome to the program, West of the Rockies. Hi, Christina.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Good to have you with us.
I was calling in regards to, you had an earlier caller that talked about there being water on the Moon. I mean, I'm sorry, on Mars.
Right.
And blue skies. I belong to several Facebook groups that are dedicated to looking at rover pictures that NASA has downloaded. And you can find the most astounding things by taking extreme close looks at what NASA is providing for us to see by the rovers.
Sure can.
I've seen rivers, clearly rivers with water in them, standing water, evidence of vegetation, definitely seen blue skies. I mean, I have pictures saved right now to my phone, to screenshots from the rover of blue skies, clearly. Massive structures that have obviously been hit with some sort of destruction, blocks with perfect right degree angles. There's a gentleman named Will Farrar, F-A-R-R-A-R, that has a group called What's Up in the Sky that has, I mean, I've seen pictures of what appears to be wheels and axles, vehicles, I mean, pyramids, on and on and on. So anybody that's actually interested in this, if you go to NASA and look at some of these and really spend some time looking, there's things that just defy description. They're clearly manufactured. I mean, I live here in Vegas, and I know what erosion will do to a desert wasteland, which is what Mars is supposed to be. And what we're seeing with these rover pics are definitely not what you would expect to see.
I agree. George, you've looked at a lot of these pictures, too. Would you agree with her?
Yes, there is a lot of evidence of machinery and all kinds of structural fragments that are sitting around. And the odd thing with NASA is when they have these rovers that drive by, if they see a rock, they will drive up pretty close to the rock, and they'll put the snifter on there, and they'll do some tests, and maybe even do a grinder on the stone to see what type of stone the stone's made of or the rock. But these formations that this young lady's talking about is a lot of these are, you'll see in the distance. It's like you'll see this panoramic view of Mars' surface, and you'll see some interesting things in the distance, and you'll wonder, well, why don't they bring the rover over to look at those? Because we'd like to get a closer, you know, perspective. Because some of these things look very artificial, like she was saying, they look like they've been blown up, which I guess goes back to the whole idea about Mars, you know, having some type of catastrophe, either war or natural, that just destroyed this place.
Yeah.
And you're seeing a lot of these remnants just sitting around.
Do you think, regardless of what happened to Mars, that it happened quickly?
I think it was years. It was probably major battles.
Over time.
Yeah.
over time, indeed. And Bill, when you look at these structures, the keyhole specifically, what was it that captured your attention?
Well, the opposing shapes. If you notice that the dome, it's pretty much circular. Anything that would cause that wind erosion, water erosion, would have to also be affecting the wedge structure, and you don't see that. So those things grabbed my attention right away. They just seemed so out of place. This is a very large structure. It's very isolated. These two things are just lined up perfectly, and yet they have opposing shapes. It's just too bizarre.
We've got Eric in Springfield, Missouri now, east of the Rockies. Hi, Eric. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, gentlemen.
Hi.
My background is in anthropology, and I think we're veering into almost a Star Trek discussion of xenoarchaeology. And it's interesting to me that these earth structures that you've been referencing are often tied into symbols that might be related to female reproduction, and that you know, some of it is lumped under the general title of yoni, coming from Sanskrit. And I was just wondering if you guys are wanting to stretch the symbology of the earth structures into Mars and say this might be some sort of female reproduction symbology on Mars.
Interesting take. Something I didn't think about, George or Bill. How about you two?
Well, the keyhole formation, the symbol, it's a very feminine type of iconography. It has the triangular and the circle, which are, you know, they're feminine formations there. So there are, you know, esoterical type of connections, if you want to go down that path of trying to find out why they're using these symbols. But I think it's mostly just because of its geometric of
Carmen Carmen Bolter, who investigates the pyramids and Atlantis, takes that the twist of the feminine and the symbolism that is there. You know, I guess ancient civilizations and cultures all had their reasons for doing symbolic things, didn't they?
That's why.
Yes, they did, and the goddess, the female goddess figure, was very pronounced in many of the ancient cultures before the Hebrews came along.
Well, that's true too. Let's go to Phil in Albany, New York. Hi, Phil. Thank you. Go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing?
Good. Thank you.
Just I got a comment and a question. Regards to Mars, the gentleman about being green. I do amateur astrophotography, and it's red and brown. But my question is this, and I'll take the answer off the air. What do you think about the asteroid belt being a planet that blew up some way? I won't question that. But the societies that were there migrated to the Earth, to the Moon, and to Mars. And that would explain all these coincidences, if you will. You know what I mean?
Mr. Haas, you take that away.
All right. Thank you. I'll take it off the air. Thanks.
Okay. Sure thing.
Yeah. The destruction of Mars may have gone hand in hand with the destruction of the asteroid belt. This may have all been the same type of, you know, conflict that was going on, this major war, you know, and we're seeing, I know if you look at Mars, there's a lot more craters on one side, as if, I think Dr. Tom Van Franlin used to talk about this with his, you know, the missing planet that blew up, which caused the asteroid belt. And he thinks this happened, you know, 65 million years ago, and when this Planet X blew up, and all of the debris hit one side of Mars, and this is probably what killed the dinosaurs, because you had all this debris, these meteors coming into the Earth's atmosphere, and so that's how he ties all that in. But yeah, this may all be connected to some type of major war. Destroyed Mars and blew up Planet X, which turned into an asteroid belt.
And how many asteroids are in that belt? Do we know? I mean, are we talking about millions, thousands?
I have no idea.
I've seen pictures, and it looks like there could be thousands of them.
Well, yeah, they're you know, small boulders to large, you know, half the moon size, I guess. They're just all different types of variations in there. It's a rough place to go through, I think.
It would be. You'd have to dodge them.
It'd be like, you know, Jason with the clashing of the rocks.
Bobby in Columbus, Georgia, first-time caller. Good morning, Bobby.
It's an honor, George.
Thank you, sir.
I guess my timing was perfect because I've been having these recurring dreams about alien visitation.
Okay.
And it starts off, it's a recurring dream that comes back and back and back. And in this dream, they explained to me that Mars was once an Earth-sized planet. As a matter of fact, it was a twin Earth. And it was 180 degrees away from Earth on the other side of the sun. And about 6,000 years ago, it got destroyed by an asteroid or a planetoid or some large object. And that's where the aliens came from.
That's a fascinating journey.
Earth just in time to come here. And that's where we've been having our visitors from. I've been having this dream over and over again. And it details the entire history of alien visitation.
That dream, Bobby, could be spot on. Remarkable. Remarkable indeed. Have you ever come across anybody, George or Bill, that has had those kinds of glimpses into the future or the past?
Well, you know, today we're celebrating a man that had a dream.
Indeed.
And we lost an astronaut that said, give that dream a chance. So dreams seem to be in the atmosphere tonight.
Yeah, that's an amazing story right there. We've got time for maybe one or two more calls. We've got Peter in Sutherland, Oregon. Welcome to the show. Hi, Peter. Let's get you in.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I wanted to say many years ago, I've been adopted and I visited Mars. And we're going towards the North Pole as in a large opening. And then I saw, you know, the craft goes in and inside the planet. And inside is a very big, giant, hollow open space. And it was looked like a small sun in it, which one gives light and life.
You're describing many of the things Admiral Byrd said that he saw. Amazing.
Well, I don't know what he said or not. I don't know, but, you know, my experience was like this. And inside the planet is a highly, very advanced civilization, and their lifespan is going up to 6,000 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And
wow.
What happened on the surface was because one of the leaders, you know, which one was going around with me and with another seven person, they were explaining about the bad people and the bad.
How old were you? How old were you, Peter, when this happened?
Well, that was about who I am now, 70, almost 72 years old.
And you were 2 years old when this happened?
No, when this happened, it was about 10 years ago.
Oh, all right, an abduction case, which, by the way, you should listen to next hour's program with John D'Souza as we talk exactly about that. But, George and Bill, thank you for your position paper on that, and keep up the good work, both of you.
Thanks for having us on, George.
All right, you good. Take care. George Haas, Bill Saunders. Their website, the Cydonia Institute. Up next, the Extra Dimensionals, True Tales and Concepts of Alien Visitors.